Welcome to week one for the Rough Riders, week two of the Canadian Football League season. It's the Green Zone Blitz, the podcast with Jamie Nye and Britton Gray to get you set on the 2026 Saskatchewan Rough Riders season. Of course, last week we did a full-on CFL preview. This week we are previewing the Rough Riders 2026 season as it starts this week against the BC Lions in a championship celebration at Mosaic Stadium on Saturday. The banner is ready to go, although, Britton, you almost got a sneak peek at practice on Tuesday, that Grey Cup championship banner.
Yeah, the canvas they had covering it was getting blown around. The tarp was getting blown around by that wind. We thought it was coming down for a second, but it held strong. But I'm sure if you've been there, you can probably visualize what it's going to look, but it's still going to be special to finally see that, the first championship banner going up at new Mosaic Stadium.
Yeah, on the north end zone, you see the four championships and now a fifth from their victory in Winnipeg last year. And when we look at a full preview of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, it's all about the difference of 2025 to 2026. Going through the Grey Cup championship roster, there are 16 players who are not on the Rough Riders this year, 8 starters from the Grey Cup championship team that did not return to Saskatchewan. Of course, a few retired, a few releases, a few free agent signings going elsewhere. So it's about filling the holes for the Rough Riders through training camp. And now with the cutdowns, we now know who's going to be filling those holes. But Britton, is 8 starters and 16 guys off that Grey Cup championship team might be a little bit too much to overcome for the Rough Riders.
It's a lot when you look at it, yes. I'm not too worried about that. I think that number is a little inflated because you look at injuries that occurred. When you look at the week one starters, Del Duncan Busby, he wasn't on the Grey Cup roster. He's back out there. Keyshawn Johnson wasn't on the Grey Cup roster because he was hurt. He's back out there. Zach Fry was a starter last season. He's going to be a starter again. They go out and get some veteran guys. And then the thing for everyone's watching, the defensive line. Now, I understand that there are some new faces there who, yes, are concerns. Corey Mace is a defensive line coach. If there's one group you kind of want unknowns, it might be that group, because he's the guy who you have the most trust in being able to mold these guys into the next ones, into the next pass rushers. And as I've been saying, this team does it by committee. Malik Kearney had 8 sacks. He wasn't up there at the 15-14 by committee. If you can find one or two guys to come in, find those 8 sacks again, this team could be looking very good again on defense.
It was more than sacks, though, for Malik Kearney. He was disruptive all season. Like, he was, if the numbers weren't there, and in the run game and everything else, he was all over the place for that Rough Riders defense. We'll see if James Vodders, who's one of the veterans they brought in, of course, Josh Woods, another veteran from the BC Lions that they brought in to fill these holes, and what they are. Is Josh Woods as good as AJ Allen? Is James Vodders going to contribute as much or close to Malik Kearney? This team hopes so. They will. And then on the other side, you know, Desmond Evans, he's going to get his shot. You have Weaver and Pate. Well, when they play, that will they be better than what we got from Shane Ray until his injury, and Habakkuk Baldonado, and kind of that rotational on that end? And up front, Caleb Evans. Here's Caleb Sanders. He goes in. Right, Devin Evans comes up Devin Adams. I'll get it right eventually this season, I promise. So Devin Adams comes in, you know, on that rotation with Ali Saad already there. Caleb Sanders, we already know, is pretty solid at that defensive tackle spot for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders with Mike Rose already there. I agree. I think this rotation should be pretty good, but it still is a should be and might be. It's not as a for sure as it was going into 2025.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And then Desmond Evans is the perfect example of a guy who should be good. He was the number one defensive line prospect when he was coming out of high school. Hasn't quite lived up to that. Can Corey Mace finally crack that puzzle? He looked really good in those 2 preseason games. Yes, the sacks weren't always there, but pressure, forcing quarterbacks out. of course, this week you really want to take the quarterback down, because if Nathan Rourke gets outside, we know how dangerous he can be when he gets running.
Oh, my goodness. Nathan Rourke and the BC Lions are coming into Mosaic Stadium with revenge. So that's kind of what you got on that defensive line rotation. Behind them, Jameer Thurman, solid as ever. CJ Revis was an all-star coverage linebacker, that Sam linebacker spot. But Antoine Brooks Jr., and this is what dynasties are able to do, and Corey Mace wants to build a dynasty, is have the next guy up ready to go. And it would appear to be that Antoine Brooks Jr., next man up, making way less than CJ Revis got from the Ottawa Red Blacks, can be, well, I don't want to say all-star caliber player, but looks like he's ready to make some plays for this Rough Riders defense this season.
Yeah, he looked really good when he was out there last year, when they finally moved him to a linebacker
spot. And I think he did start in the Grey Cup game, because CJ Revis was playing safety for the injured Nelson Lacombe.
It allowed them to make that move because they have trust in Antoine Brooks Jr. He went out and made plays as well. He was noticeable out there in that linebacker spot. So it's another spot where change, yes, but you feel good about the guy coming in because he's at least shown a little bit of what he can do.
Yeah, so Josh Woods, as mentioned, AJ Allen, big money from the Ottawa Red Blacks, leaves. And in comes Josh Woods, question mark there. I don't know how much we'll see Aubrey Miller Jr. Popping up in that rotation at linebacker. He's my up-and-coming Saskatchewan Rough Rider defender this season. But then behind them, you do have Malik Straker and Nick Weeb, kind of year three, year four for those guys in their CFL careers. So, again, it's pretty good depth out of training camp in that linebacking core for the Rough Riders.
Yeah, you expect it's about taking steps with these guys at this point. Do they continue to improve and eventually push for a starting spot? You go out and get the veteran in Josh Woods, who has looked good throughout camp. He has looked the part of being that veteran there, making plays. Excited to see what he can do now alongside Jameer Thurman, who one of, if not the best middle linebackers in the entire CFL off last season.
And then the secondary, we don't have to talk much about, because they are locked and loaded, right? Like, they are a group that you see the Saskatchewan Rough Riders at, and it's like, okay, we got Roland Milligan, Marcus Sales, Nelson Lacombe, DeMarcus Fields, Tavon Campbell. Now, they are a secondary that's all played together, and when you have that chemistry, when you have you know what the guy next to you is going to do on every play and what the reads are, that's huge for a secondary for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
And I think this group might have a little bit more depth behind it this season than last year. Yes, Benny Sapp came in. He was good when he was out there, but this team cut Benny Sapp. They must like what they've seen from a guy like Juju Hughes, who was really noticeable throughout training camp. Malcolm Bell, like, he has looked really good, not just as a Canadian defensive back, just as a defensive back. He made a play on day one of practice going up, swatting the ball down from going to Keyshawn Johnson. And we know how good we expect him to be. And so it feels like with Malcolm Bell there, you can put him wherever if he's able to play any spot, because he has looked very impressive throughout camp in the preseason as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, this defense, they do have depth, but they do need new names to step up and be all-star caliber contributors for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. On the offensive side of the ball, let's start up front like we did on the defensive side. The defense, the offensive line for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, a lot of familiar names. Peyton Collins locking it down on the left side. A little bit of a nicked up Jermarcus Hardrick on the right. Jacob Bramer, Logan Ferland, and they'll try the Zach Fry experience again to start the season, it looks like. But this is the year Zach Fry really needs to lock it down and show he's a contributor, because Eric Anderson behind him, the offensive lineman out of the year out of U Sports, I don't think that's going to be a long leash if we saw some of the blemishes we even saw in you know, the preseason games from Zach Fry allowing pressures.
Yeah, exactly. A big year for Zach Fry here. The team was really high on him when they drafted him. I remember Jeremy O'Day talking very highly of Zach Fry. Weird year last year. Of course, he had the car incident with the rollover there, and then kind of obviously got pushed out by Trevion Tate as this team went to four Americans. he needs to step up. But speaking about that line, I know we talk about Hardrick. We know how good Logan Ferland is and kind of his move to center. How about Bramer and kind of another step he could take? How good he was last year. Can he even be better? And Peyton Collins, boy, he looks really good so far again. Even in the preseason, throughout training camp, he's a guy. If he wants another guy, another step, does he do that? Does he develop? Yep. Does he get some NFL? I'm a little surprised that he didn't get a shot at the NFL with how good he really was last season, still being a young guy. Does he kind of show it again and then get those opportunities? Something to watch after this season, but for now, the Riders are very happy to have a healthy Peyton Collins back there at left tackle.
And then you go to the quarterback. Keeping Trevor Harris protected is of the utmost importance. They don't have a cagey veteran like Jake Mayer there behind him anymore. It is Jack Cohn. It is Tommy Stevens. And then Braden Shager will be number four like Jack Cohn was last season. Everybody who I talk to says the Riders should be good unless, and you know what that unless is, unless Trevor Harris gets hurt. And everybody in Saskatchewan believes this team will be a big downgrade if they don't have number seven chucking the ball every weekend for the Rough Riders.
Yeah, but I always say to that, what team wouldn't be in trouble? Ottawa has Drew Brown as the backup now. Sure, he started some games, but he hasn't been overly impressive.
Winnipeg. Watch your mouth about Nick Arbuckle. Come on, man.
Nick Arbuckle has shown it. Sure, I get that. But Winnipeg, Zach Collaros goes down. Taylor Elgersma didn't light the world on fire in the preseason. Any team, if the quarterback goes down, it's going to be hard. I think right now, if Trevor Harris, hope it doesn't happen, if he does go down and it's for more than 1 week, that's where kind of the Braden Shager thing becomes really interesting, because I believe Jack Cohn is the better option to go in mid-game, maybe start one game. But Braden Shager has kind of shown that maybe he has a higher ceiling. Maybe he has a little bit more tools in that toolbox.
Yeah, and of course, nobody wants to see that happen.
Nope.
At all. Like, nope. That is not anything anybody wants to see this season for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So that quarterback depth will only be a question if it needs to be a question for Saskatchewan, and that's why it's utmost importance to keep number seven protected for the Rough Riders this season. No change at running back. You still got AJ Ouellette and the locks flying out from the back of the helmet with Thomas Bertrand Hudon behind him. Conley, of course, earns that backup job, but starting the season on the practice roster. I'll be interested to see what kind of season AJ Ouellette puts together, as he's kind of changed his offseason regimen. He's lifting a lot less, and he's becoming a little bit more agile and maybe a little quicker and less of the Thor Hammer type running back. So I'll be interested to see, because it was another impressive year. AJ Ouellette, one of the, you know, top running backs in the CFL, even though there was about six of them last year who are all pretty outstanding. But AJ Ouellette is right there with the best of them in the CFL.
Yeah, he was also an interesting kind of story in the fact it took a long time for AJ Ouellette to get signed. I think he was one of the last signings. And so kind of, hey, he said it. He's at that 30-year-old range. He knows what that means for running backs usually. I expect another big year from him. He looks good out there at training camp. Obviously, he's not always the most vocal guy, but he lets his play do the talking. He will be up there celebrating. Maybe we'll see the hammer make an appearance again at some point. But yeah, AJ Ouellette, of course, is one of the best pass blocking running backs in the entire CFL. That's why this team really loves him. That's why he's been able to make such a long career, as well as his good running ability, is that. So, and that's important. That is going to be very important to keep Trevor Harris upright, is a good running back blocker as well.
So we look at the receiving core, and this is where we get into the Grey Cup, because they had so many injuries. Like, as you mentioned, Keyshawn Johnson didn't play. Del Duncan Busby wasn't there. Like, Dante Myers is gone, so Keyshawn Johnson fills in. Tommy Neal is gone. Del Duncan Busby fills in. You have Kean Schaefer-Baker. You have Sam Emelis. that they're fully healthy, ready to go last year. But Jalen Johnson will step in the Dante Myers spot as that fifth starting receiver. And then Deshaun Mims and Daniel Weeb are the Canadians behind them. Daniel Weeb starts on the practice roster, of course. But, yeah, it's this receiving corps should be one of the best in the Canadian Football League when you look at just the top three. If Kean Schaefer-Baker, Sam Emilis, and Keyshawn Johnson are all healthy, that's a good trio to throw to with Dell Duncan Busby and Jalen Johnson as complementary players.
Absolutely. And the fact that the Riders do have, I mean, Sam Emilis, we consider him one of the top five, top three just wide receivers in the CFL. Kean Schaefer-Baker might be the toughest guy to bring down in the CFL, the amount of tackles he runs through. Having those guys there, those Canadians, allows you to have a younger American receiver, a guy who can maybe spend 2-3 weeks, okay, getting used to it. Here's the speed, getting some game action, and then allowing him to eventually break out. Jalen Johnson, as mentioned in training camp, he does everything that this team wants from its receivers, and you see it from Sam Emilis, especially blocking down the field, being a part of the run game. Jalen Johnson, good on special teams as well. They like what he showed there. He really embraced the foundation of this team, what the identity of it, that hard-working one. Not to say the other guys didn't, but it felt like he really popped for the coaches. Excited to see what he can do this season. Like I said, you can allow him because you have those other dynamic receivers to kind of get used to the speed of the CFL, because it is different for those guys coming from down south. Even with some NFL experience like he does have, it sometimes takes a couple of weeks to really get into the Canadian game.
Yeah, and I'm thinking big things of Emilis and KSB and Keyshawn Johnson this season. And then we'll see what those complimentary guys do. Johnny Johnson III's on the practice roster as well. He showed well in camp. So they have some, again, looks like they have okay depth. The Canadian receivers a little with only kind of two guys behind those three. But Daniel Weeb, he's just waiting for his moment to shine, I think. Of course, catching that game-winning touchdown in the preseason game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at Griffith Stadium. And then special teams. It's all new. Nobody from the Grey Cup last year is on this team anymore. Jorgen Hughes retires. Brett Lawther released, signing with the Ottawa Redblacks. And Jesse Mirko was one of the last cuts of camp this year as punter. So, all new. And is this the biggest question mark for the Rough Riders? Like, I think it is. I think it's even more important or a bigger question mark than the defensive line with all those changes. Like, is Alex Hale going to be consistent enough to knock him through? What are we going to get from the punter this year? In placement and all those important things. And now Aaron Crawford, he'll dial it back as a veteran long snapper that he is.
Yeah, no, you're right there. It's completely new. But, I mean, you've talked about it on the Green Zone. This team won a Grey Cup with a sub-80% kicker. They've shown you can do it, but you hope you don't have to do it again. I mean, James Letcher Jr., we know what he can do. He's been a good returner in this league for a couple of years now. Kind of like when they got Mario Alford from Montreal. He kind of really found his game again in Saskatchewan. But yeah, question marks. How good is Chapman going to be? Admittedly, the Alex Hale winning the job, a bit surprising. I thought Jonathan Kim kind of looked better during the games, looked better at camp. But of course, Alex Hale carries that global designation, and which is all important in the current CBA with the global program, right? So does that have something to do with it? I don't know. Alex Hale, of course, did have some time with the Green Bay Packers. He still has a good leg. Not as big of a leg as Kim had, but still a pretty good leg. But yeah, question marks. A lot of question marks around special teams. We'll see how important that third phase really is here this season with the Riders.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I'm excited about Letcher Jr. as a return guy. He's flashed many times in his CFL career for the Montreal Alouettes. So that's kind of a look at the roster. But let's look at the season. What are our expectations for the Saskatchewan Roughriders? I just ran through the schedule. Britton and I usually do this in the office every year. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. I'm in that 10-11 win range, Britton. That's where I'm at. Sorry to Darren and Rosh Percy, who bet us 13-5 wins for stakes. I think Daryl Belton and I are eating well again, and you and Scotty as well, who dug into those stakes when Darren cooked them up. And it's not just the Rough Riders are worse. Like, 10-11 is only one or two wins less than they had last year. It's the teams around them. Like, Winnipeg might be better. Edmonton might be better. Like, all the teams they were beating might be better. So that's why I have a little bit of a dip, not a big dip, a win or two less than last season with 10 or 11 wins for the Rough Riders.
See, and I think the fact that the competition in the West is going to be more, they're actually going to find a way to improve. I have them at 13 wins this season. I think they will win the West again. It's going to be harder, yes, but I like this team. This team, to me, they feel maybe a little disrespected, and I think they can find that motivation. This hasn't been an offseason talking about the Riders repeating for a lot of the national stuff. It's Nathan Rourke's year. Nathan Rourke's going to go win the Grey Cup, the BC Lions team, which very well could be. They made a lot of great moves. I've said they made some great moves, but as the great Ric Flair
once said.
Shouldn't
that be the storyline?
As the great Ric Flair once said, to be the man, you have to beat the man. And Nathan Rourke has yet to beat the Riders in the playoffs.
Shouldn't that be the storyline, though, for the Canadian Football League? Like, shouldn't it be the 2026? Can the Canadian quarterback lead a team to a championship for the first time since Rush Jackson? Like, that is... And he's the reigning MOP. He's the reigning most outstanding Canadian. He's the best player in the Canadian Football League. He was on the CFL's top 50 list, and he deserved to be on the top 50 list. Like, he is the face of this league. He's got to be the storyline. Like, sorry to the Rough Riders in your repeat. Great. You don't even want to talk about it. Now you're going to get upset that nobody's talking about it? Like, seriously. What are we doing?
Hey, people want to crown the BC Lions before they even play a game. Go for it.
Riders last year before they played a game. What's the difference? We said the Riders were going to win the Grey Cup, and we got it right. So if I say BC is going to win the Grey Cup, why am I the bad guy all of a sudden? Oh, you're crowning Nathan Rourke. I crowned the Riders last season before the season. Not one person said, what are you doing crowning the Riders? Oh, here we go with the rotten. Nobody. There was like, yeah, let's go. But now I say Nathan Rourke's going to win, and we got an issue. Okay, fine.
We'll see. It's a long season. But I have a
I know you're
13.
Going with the Riders. Yeah. I know. You're going with the Rough Riders for a repeat. And you want us to cook Darren's steaks with your 13-win prediction. And it might be true. And, hey, I deal with these guys. I'd love them to see a repeat. I'd love Corey Mace to build a dynasty in Saskatchewan. I'd love to take that mantle of the flagship franchise that Stuart Johnston put on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers this week back to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I want all those things for this province and this fan base. That's what I want. I'd love to see it. But it's also my job to give a true, honest opinion on what I think about the CFL. And this year, I think it's... If you want to crown them, then crown their asses with the BC Lions. Wonder if Corey Mace will drop that one with this week against the BC Lions.
That'd be quite the press conference from Corey Mace. He's dropped F-bombs before.
That's not even an F-bomb. No, that's just
be tame compared to the Grey Cup parade.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, breakout player on offense for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. If you can, is there one? Can there be one? I guess we have to go with Jalen Johnson, I guess, or Dell Duncan Busby, because I don't know if Keyshawn, Sam, or Kean can be considered breakout players. They're pretty good.
Yeah, there's not a lot of options on offense of who to break out, right? Because a lot of these guys already have the reputations. For me, on offense, I think it's more of a reminding people of how good they are. I think some people forgot how good Kean Schaefer-Baker can be when he's healthy. As I mentioned, he is one of the toughest guys to bring down in the entire CFL. The amount of tackles he runs through is ridiculous. And so I think that if he puts together a full season, we can see why he's been considered so good for so long and put kind of last year the injury woes behind him.
I'm gonna go with Daniel Weeb. I'll be honest. I think this kid's gonna see the field this year, and I think he's gonna be a great one. He works hard, he catches everything. Whenever he steps on the field, whenever he steps at training camp and makes plays. He makes plays. He's just one of those guys. The ball finds him. And he's a good route runner. And I know that probably comes at the expense of an injury, but nobody stays healthy all year long. Like, there's not many guys who get to play all 18 games completely healthy in the CFL. So I think we might see a Daniel Weeb kind of not a 1,000-yard season or anything like that, but I think he'll come out at some point and go, okay, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field for the Rough Riders. Now, defensive, is there a guy who stands out to you, Britton, on the defensive side of the ball who's going to make a name for themselves and be a household name in Saskatchewan by the end of 2026?
Yes, but it's a tough one to say breakout because there's really been nothing we can say. Like, at least last year, so I picked Keyshawn Johnson. At least his first year, he showed what he could do. Then it was just building on that. I really like what Desmond Evans has done throughout training camp. He kind of has the build you want as a defensive end. Tall guy, big wingspan, can cause some disruption, just not by getting to the quarterback. I like what he can do. As I mentioned, the potential was there in high school. Can Corey Mace kind of unlock that? I really like what he did throughout the first couple preseason games by getting to the quarterback. Did get a sack, but he was in quarterback's faces, forced them to run. He's a guy I'm very interested in. I think he could have a big season with the coaching of Micah Johnson, who is now, of course, a defensive line coach, and Corey Mace. He's a guy I'm really intrigued in just because of how good he was supposed to be back in high school.
Yeah, I'm going to stay on the defensive line as well, and a guy who's been here for a few years, but he's kind of been the third man in the rotation at defensive tackle, is Caleb Sanders. I really believe, now that Micah Johnson is retired and is his defensive line coach, that Sanders steps up, and beside Mike Rose and company, I think he's going to be disruptive. I think he's going to be in the backfield a lot. And he stops the run well. I think he is going to be a guy that I'm probably going to be rattling the cage at the end of the year saying, vote for Caleb for All-Stars. Hey, everybody, I know he doesn't have a lot of tackles or maybe a lot of sacks, but he does a lot of good things in the middle of that defensive line for the Rough Riders. So I think Caleb's going to make a bigger name for himself with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in 2026. So you have 13 wins. I have about 11 wins for the Rough Riders, but it starts this week. It is the first game of the season for the Riders, the BC Lions. It's the championship celebration. You'll probably want to get to the park a little early because of the celebration pregame. And then, of course, tailgating debuts this week for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Britton, what are you barbecuing out there with the tailgaters this week?
I will not be out there. I did not get a spot. I'm hoping someone brings a smoker.
You're
going to
walk
ribs
through, oh, though, right? Like, I'm going take early. A I'm going to see a stroll, right?
See if anyone recognizes me, offers me a steak or something. And sure, I'll take a stroll through just to see what's
Britton's
going
on. Britton's looking for free burgers. Feed Britton before the game. That's what he's looking for.
But I'm excited to see it. Like I said, what's the atmosphere like? Yes, there's going to be food. There's going to be that. But what's going to make this really stand out? What traditions get started? Like, are we going the watermelon helmets? I will say it again. Can we start bringing those back now that you can go to a game, start doing the watermelon in the parking lot? You don't have to haul it around in your car in garbage bags anymore, right? And so yeah. What are people going to do to really just increase the atmosphere from just a barbecue to tailgating for a football game?
Yeah, it's I hope, and it's going to be a feel it out process. This isn't a culture thing in Saskatchewan is tailgating, and I hope it turns into one, because we know how to party. You've been to Craven. We know how to get together and have a good time with a few trailers and wobbly pops. Like, seriously, let's bring out the cornhole sets, all that stuff. And it's 5 hours before the game. You can start parking if you have a spot. So that's noon is when things can start to get rolling, and roll into the park early and wander around and give high fives, start some chants, start some traditions with tailgating for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. But it is the BC Lions. They want revenge, as we're going to get into our weekly picks now and around the CFL. BC Lions, here they come. You know I'm picking the BC Lions to win. How could I not after my rant earlier? But I it's always those championship celebrations things. It's got this weird vibe. Like, everybody's excited, everybody's thinking that, and it's almost a distraction. And the other team who lost that West Finals just frothing at the mouth to get revenge. That's not what I think might happen at Mosaic Stadium on Saturday afternoon.
And I'm going the opposite. I think the Riders, yes, there'll be the championship celebration, but this team's got their rings already. They've kind of done the celebrating. Corey Mace has kept the message simple. Yeah, 2025 was great. It has nothing to do with this year. Go 1-0 again. And as I mentioned, I think this team maybe uses all the chatter around the Lions as motivation. When you're the defending champions, how do you find motivation? That's something every team needs to do when they're in that position. I think they can find it easily against the BC Lions, who are a preseason favorite for a lot of people.
We'll get to our other picks in just a bit, but last week in the CFL, Montreal wins 30-27 in overtime. Winnipeg wins 30-28 with a walk-off at the end of the fourth quarter in Calgary. And Justin Rankin ran and ran and ran all over the Ottawa Redblacks for nearly 200 yards all-purpose for the Elks in a 29-21 win. The big standouts for me has to be Justin Rankin, and that he's my biggest standout of the week. And just the quality of games in week one. Well, there was some sloppiness, of course. There were some penalties that the coaches were rankled by, but an overtime win, a walk-off win, and again, within 8 points, Ottawa had the ball and could have come down and tied that game against the Edmonton Elks. That was a pretty good first week of CFL action. Unfortunately, not a lot of people in the stands to watch it, as attendance decreased in Hamilton, Calgary, and Ottawa compared to their home openers last year.
Now, Ottawa, it was quite the storm. That was not good weather in Ottawa, so I'm willing to kind of look at that one
Oh yeah,
under the
they
weather.
don't announce they don't announce tickets distributed, do they? They
No.
actually announce what's scanned at that game. That's true.
Hamilton was kind of the most disappointing, I think, which is kind of the you had the Montreal in there. Of course, there's a lot of high hopes around Hamilton. It is early in the season, but we have to start wondering, is this people trying to send a message? They do not want the rule changes coming next season. And that is going to be in the back of the heads throughout the entire year, especially if the attendance continues to dip. Or is it just the fact it's week one, kind of the season just starting to get going? I'm not sure. We'll see what Saskatchewan does this week with what they're able to get out for the championship celebration.
Yeah, I looked on Ticketmaster. It looks like another 30,000 some crowd. Doesn't look like it's going to be a sellout for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. But hey, I looked at Winnipeg, and I don't think they've announced a sellout yet either. They have less ticket inventory left for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. That game's tomorrow against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. But I'll be watching attendance numbers this year, and disposable income too. Like, that is a big factor. We're all living it right now. We're all living high gas prices, the price of groceries, everything's going up. And like, almost everybody I talk to is watching their nickels and dimes a lot more closely than 5 years ago. Or 4 or 3 years ago. It is the reality of inflation and everything we're going through on just, keeping food on the table and gas in the tank. It's expensive enough. So I think that's probably a bigger contributing factor to this than actual the rule changes that don't come into effect until 2027. But if there's 50, 100 people that aren't doing it, that's 50 or 100 people less that are buying tickets. So yeah, we'll be trending. Do we have time to talk about CFL Fantasy Week 1?
Always. Britain? We don't have a hard out for this thing.
I lost, ladies and gentlemen, with one main reason. I made a roster change after Week 1 ended. So it was after the game, the Edmonton Elks, Justin Rankin, who I picked in the first round, had 30 points. I would have won 91 to 60 something. Would have been close. So I go to my roster. I go to Week 2. Week 2, make changes. I put Larry Roundtree into my starting lineup. I take Justin Rankin out. You know, what you do as a manager, just set that roster early just in case you have a brain fart and you're not, you go Thursday night, oh man, I forgot to set my roster. So I do that all the time. Britton texts me Monday going, you lost because it shows you bench Justin Rankin in Week 1, even though you benched him for Week 2. And yeah, that's what happened. Like, there are glitches here that just are driving people crazy, and none more crazy than our very own Britton Gray.
It is just mind-boggling. Mind-boggling that in 2026, where fantasy football's been around a long time, yes, I know the CFL has some weird thing, well, not weird, different things from the NFL, and you have to take that into account. But my goodness, you can't even pick up players. It says they're still on waivers just this morning. I can't make roster moves. I lost because they took the projected points as the final points in the league. Oh, it's been a headache, and it's really annoying because I convinced some buddies who do not watch the CFL or rarely do to come join a CFL fantasy group. Let's give it a go. And they're getting completely turned off by it because it's the user experience is not there. It is nearly impossible to make roster moves. And now you have guys losing because they make changes too early.
And this is front of house stuff. Like, this is how you engage your audience. This is how they engage with you. It can't be this. It can't. Because, as you said, I've been seeing on Twitter, it's like, I'm not even going to bother. Our teams, kind of our group chats, we're done. We're not even going to bother with the rest of the league. It's just going to sit there because of the mistakes and the blips. And this is a way to engage your fan base. So next year, they're going to be revamped, renewed. And how many people are going to go, do I even want to bother with this again? Like, I will, because I'm a degenerate when it comes to fantasy football, like that, and the Canadian Football League. Like, I'll be there, but how many of your buddies who watch the NFL will want to come back and try to experience it again after this? Like, that's the issue. And I contribute, full disclosure, I contribute to CFL.ca. I know people who can get to the people who are running this. Like, it's not the editor of CFL.ca, Christina Costabile, who is putting this together. She is not a computer science expert. You know, she's a reporter and an editor. But, you know, but she gets heat for it, even though she's the employee who's just writing on the website. Like, she has no control over, you know, the coding and everything else that goes into these types of things. But we are, you know, front of house people who have to deal with it, deal with the complaints, deal with what's going on. This is a joke, and everybody understands it, and nobody can deny it. It's bad. It's a bad start, and it needs to be cleaned up. And my goodness, it's a bad look. Clearly, nothing was ready. Stuart Johnston promised it, and they could not deliver a new website, a new app, or a fantasy product to start 2026. Maybe they should have said 2027, Britton.
I don't think so. It's 2026. The internet is not new. They just signed a $500 million broadcast deal. There is someone out there who could have made a functioning website in this year of 2026. The internet, like, it's mind-boggling. Anything to do with the internet at this point, it shouldn't feel like it's a major hurdle anymore. It's needed if to to just exist in this time, in this year. I'm flustered. It is annoying as someone. I do computer gaming. Obviously, it's just technology. Why is it still the CFL stuck in 1999?
Yeah, it's a staffing issue as well. Like that they don't have NFL type staffing at the Canadian Football League. They just don't. They don't. It's not bare bones, but it's a league that makes its way through and does all right. But what drives me nuts is when you go to like smaller leagues and stuff functions and works and has updates and things like that. And you're like, oh, it's frustrating for me too. It really is. As someone who's contributed to the CFL website and continues to do with my weekly predictor pieces for the last over a decade now. From where it is, from where it was to where it is now, you see it's improving. But the whole stats thing a couple of years ago and now this, it's like it's piling on to how people engage with your league. And it's a tough sell. It really is. And I completely understand the frustration. I know the league understands the frustration as well with what's going on. Okay, you good, Britton? No, you're not good. I know you're not good. You're not good.
We need to move on.
We can move on. Okay. What did you pick last week? I can't even remember. I went 2-1 because I got Montreal thanks to the comeback and the Robert Kennedy, the third interception for a touchdown that flipped that game. Come on, Calgary. Don't kick it through the end zone when you take the lead and give the ball at the 40-yard line. Ugh. Gave Winnipeg the win. I picked Calgary. And Edmonton did not disappoint me. So I went 2-1.
I went 1-2. I was so close. Exciting finishes could have went either way.
Oh yeah, I could have gone 0-3 or 3-0. Like it was,
yeah,
it was that close.
But just got Edmonton right. We kind of both expected Ottawa will need a little bit with all the changes they went through at very important positions. But I thought Calgary at home it was a coin flip. I took the home team, and then I just thought Hamilton might be able to do it, but and should have hold on to the football in overtime.
Okay, let's get to this week as we do a wrap here on the Blitz Podcast. Again, like, subscribe, share, all that stuff, and let people know about the great technological genius of Britton Gray, who gets this thing up and running every week with the Blitz Podcast. I agree with Locker Britton. Maybe you should be a consultant with CFL. .ca. Meanwhile, the Hamilton Tiger Cats are in Winnipeg, the 0-1 Tabbies against the 1-0 Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Montreal didn't run the ball a lot, but their running back averaged like 7-8 yards a carry. I got Brady Oliveira in my fantasy, in my weekly fantasy in CFL.ca. I got the Winnipeg Blue Bombers beating the Hamilton Tiger Cats in Winnipeg in their home opener.
Yeah, I'm going with Winnipeg here. As you mentioned, a home opener. Want to see Hamilton kind of prove it now after losing to Montreal. I still like Hamilton throughout the season. Winnipeg with a veteran team, how do they look mid-season and late season is going to be more of the answers surrounding that team and how, if they can stay healthy. But early home opener, as you mentioned, Hamilton couldn't stop the run all that well. And I'm hoping Brady Oliveira has a big day. He's in my fantasy lineup. If I can make some changes.
Is he?
I hope so. Are you sure?
Don't make a change on Friday for week 3 because he'll be bumped out of your lineup, apparently. Toronto, Montreal. I've got the Alouettes improving to 2-0. Toronto's the big mystery unknown. I have no idea what to expect from this team, and I'm not going to pick them to win a game until I actually see them on the football field. Maybe next week when they go against the Ottawa Red Blacks, but this week it's Montreal at home against Toronto. I'm going Alouettes all the way.
I'm going to go with Toronto because all the CFL.ca writers picked the Montreal Alouettes, which
you're not in it
means
to win it this year. I'm disappointed in you.
We'll see. Chad Kelly's back and healthy, despite what you may think of him as a person, can throw a football. There are some new coaching, yes. But Montreal, boy, they took a lot of penalties. It looked sloppy at times. They did get the win, yes. But I like Toronto. They're coming out. They have something to prove. They're coming off the bye week as well. They did have a bye week against a team that had to play. They had the extra week of preparation. I think that's a good upset spot this week.
Okay. He's got the Argos, and we've talked about it. I'm going with the BC Lions over the Saskatchewan Roughriders on Saturday afternoon. I haven't quite figured out a score yet, and I kind of don't want to say it out loud.
Give you my score.
Like, I'm like 31, like 21, like somewhere in there. Like, sorry, I know that's ridiculous. They're Grey Cup champions, I know, but again, the BC Lions are so angry about that Tommy Neal touchdown. That's my pick. BC by over a touchdown.
I got 30-27 for the Riders. I think eventually coming down to it, the Corey Mace defense will be able to stop Nathan Rourke from finding a magical comeback at the end of it.
Okay. There you have it. Of course, last year, the BC Lions, Corey Mace kind of had the book on the BC Lions a little bit last year. They lost the last game of the season, of course, to the BC Lions, but that was kind of a mail it in a couple of weeks there for the Saskatchewan Roughriders to get ready for the playoffs and then beat them again. So every time they had everybody and were full in, they went 3-0 against the BC Lions last year. So maybe Corey Mace has the book on Nathan Rourke. We will see. Again, like, subscribe, share the Blitz podcast. Thanks for joining us once again this week, and we'll be back next week with the Rough Riders on the road against the Calgary Stampeders, the only team they didn't beat in 2025. And I laugh at Jalen Philpott. Oh, we wish we would have played the Riders in the playoffs, because come on now, Calgary, get over it. Seriously, I know you beat them twice, but we'll dig into that storyline next week here on the Blitz podcast, and we'll tell you if the problems have been fixed at CFL Fantasy.